Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 Penn State student athletes. I'm Jim Galante, along with Executive Director at Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, as always, great to have you on the show.
Yeah, Jim, thanks. Appreciate you having me. Just normal now. I was telling my wife, you know, I love this time of the week, get to spend an hour with you. And but the funny thing about it is, you know, it's only an hour, right? But we usually end up taking about 2 hours. You know? So, and, you know, today we're trying to, we're moving after this and doing some things. So it was like, well, I don't know how long we're going to be on after the actual show. So we'll try to tie things up a little bit quicker this time.
That's going to be a tough task for you and I.
I know.
That's the problem when you have two storytellers getting into a conversation. It could go on forever, can't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's all right. No problem with that. I'll tell you what, Mike, what I'd like to do this week, a little bit different. We had last week the Big Ten Media Day where all the coaches show up. They usually did it in Chicago, then Indianapolis. This one was in Las Vegas, which for the Big Ten, a little bit unusual, as James Franklin pointed out. But I wanted to start with this and get your thoughts on this. I've watched a couple of the other coaches in the Big Ten. I'm not looking to throw any of them under the bus, but James is just so good at this.
He is. He's made for this. And, you know, like, just – you just, like, when you have a coach like that in these settings, you know, you hear all the other coaches, you can tell they're nervous. They're not really ready or prepared for these kind of things. Well, it's really important too, especially to the administrators, the board, the president, the fans, because this is your boss, right? This is your CEO. This is who you love. This is who who's representing you, your team. So when you have somebody like Coach Franklin to get up there and articulate the way that he does and be so professional. And it's really a great thing for Penn State fans. And it's awesome, you know, for us sitting in our seats to listen to him, because he doesn't just talk like coach speak. He really brings perspective to, you know, what's going on and not just, you know, the easy political things to get out of question. So yeah, he's awesome. He's phenomenal.
Well, I think he balances out the a well thought out answer without it being just a totally rehearsed. Here you go. Here's the narrative, and I think we saw even, and we'll probably talk about this at another point, but the Big Ten commissioner, who's alone in this among the leagues, is pushing for a playoff format that includes automatic bids. It comes off as so self-serving and not candid, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. He doesn't mention what might be the biggest reason for it, is there's probably a nice payday for those play-in games, okay? And he doesn't talk about that. He dances around it with the, you know. And if I were the commissioner of the Big Ten, I think I would just hire James Franklin to be the spokesman, no matter what the topic is.
Yeah, no question. You know, even when we went through that time during COVID and the president at that time of the league, you know, he just seemed nervous all the time. You could see, like, all the backlash and all the negative things were pretty much getting to him, right? And so that makes the fans feel a little unstable and everybody feels a little unstable. But now, you know, I think we're in a really good position where everybody feels great. And, like, back to, like, you saying, you know, we were in, you know, they moved it to Vegas. I think that's kind of like a power move of the Big Ten, you know, saying, yeah, SEC, we're still building on this thing. We're still – you guys are great, but yeah, we're going to take this thing to Vegas. You know, we're not just some boring Northeast, you know, conference. You know, we're now expanded with these powers on the West. you know, and the powers that we already have. You know, it's I think it's awesome. I like seeing. I'm really interested in seeing how this transition of the Big Ten and SEC power continues to kind of go in favor of the Big Ten, in my opinion, right now.
Well, one of the explanations or the expressions, and I can't remember who said it. Well, the difference is we're not a regional conference. We're a national conference.
That's right.
And I think that's a good way to phrase it. But anyway, let's circle back to the playoffs. James Franklin, we're going to have some quotes from James Franklin, and I'd like to play one here for you now, Mike, where he was asked how he would improve the college football playoffs. Here's James Franklin.
I'm happy with the 12 teams. We've talked before. The biggest issue in my mind is putting the committee in the best position to choose the best 12 teams. I've been saying it for a long time. I don't care if we play 8 games or 9, but everybody should be the same. Everybody should play a conference championship game, or nobody should play a conference championship game. Everybody should be in a conference. And now that allows the committee to get together and compare apples to apples to pick the best 12 teams. I think more than the structure of the actual playoffs, that needs to get resolved, in my opinion.
There you go, Mike. And that was James Franklin talking about, hey, 8 games, 9 conference games, just all do it the same. So easy and so logical.
Yeah. You know, I think what I get out of that clip, Jim, is Coach Franklin just saying, like, okay, well, all right, people want a structure one way, and other people want a structure another way. Well, Coach Franklin just, like, to me, that he's just saying, hey, let's just have it all be one fair playing field, right? Like, everybody has to either play a conference game or they don't, right? Everybody has to play, you know, 8 conference games or they don't. If everybody abides by that, then I think that's easy. It makes it easier for the committee to make decisions, because now it gets cloudy if, you know, you have a Big Ten winner and you're comparing it to somebody that didn't play a conference championship game, right? So I, to me, that's what I get out of that clip from Coach Franklin, and I think he's right.
I do too, and the argument right now, what it seems to come down to, is the Southeast Conference has jumped away from the automatic qualifiers. They want the 5-11, which means one conference winner and 11 at-large bids. And the I'm going to go against the Big Ten on this one. I think the thing with the automatic qualifiers is you could have a scenario where they say that in championship weekend, one plays 2 for the conference championship, and then you have 3, 6, 4, 5 to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with that is you could have a third place team with one loss playing a 6th place team with 3 or 4 losses. And if there's an upset that day, that 6th place team makes it in ahead of a team that I think is much more deserving. And the reason, one of the reasons put out there for this, is they say, well, we don't trust the committee to make the comparison and strength of schedule. Where exactly has there been the situation a year ago? Did they do anything wrong? Was there something egregious that the playoff committee did that they didn't get it right, that people are so concerned that they want to take it out of the committee's hands?
No, I think it's when you get like a Boise in there, a non-traditional Power Four team with a bye, right? And you have these power conferences looking at that, well, saying, well, that's not fair, right? So I think that kind of, to me, that's like the first thing that jumps off to me when you look at the playoff format last year. You know, it in theory, it made sense. But and it even made sense to me prior to the selection on that Sunday. But then after looking at it, you're like, I don't know. This doesn't really make sense. We may need to change this a little bit.
Well, that was a little bit different, and that was the seeding. You know, I don't think people were concerned because Boise State, the one Group of 5 team to get in. but them being seeded third or fourth, that, and they've already corrected that. And yeah. I think the thing to remember when the committee or whoever put together the plan, the Pac-12 still existed, and the Big 12 still had Texas and Oklahoma in their conference. So if you go by like Oregon and Texas, who were in the playoffs, if they were still in those other conferences and won those, the seeding process would have made sense. So, you know, I think the biggest thing, the committee had no choice with the seeding. Those were the rules.
Yeah.
But I think the Southeast Conference gets all hot and bothered because one loss Indiana made it over three loss Alabama.
Yeah, sure. Well, the SEC is going to get hot and bothered by everything right now. you know, I think, and I was in SEC for a couple of years. I get it. It's an amazing conference each week. It's awesome. But, you know, the commissioner's tone at that point when I was in SEC was a lot different than his tone now. I think his tone now, it's like, oh, shit. You know, I think the Big Ten's gaining on us or has surpassed us, to be honest. But, you know, to your point, Jim, you know, like, go back to, you know, the Joe Pa days and the system, like the ratings. It's, I think this is always year in, year out going to be a discussion. We're here sitting in 2025 and we're still, you know, talking about how it's messed up, right? It's like, and I've heard, you know, personalities on Sports Talk Radio even talk about going back to the old BCS ratings and the computer systems, let the computers handle it. I think that's really interesting. I just think we're going to be here every year. You know, whatever team kind of gets screwed in the system, that conference commissioner will then, you know, try to raise some eyebrows and try to, you know, start the conversation of some type of reform. And then here we go again in the same thing. It's just the hamster wheel, basically. But, you know, it's great for the sport. You know, just win all your games and you won't have to worry about it.
Well, and that's been my commentary on this. When it was only, you know, first two teams, then four teams, boy, that was tough, okay? You couldn't right. lose a second game. The fact is, we found out this past year, you know, Alabama, they could have lost two regular season games and gotten into the playoffs, no problem. It's don't lose a third game, and the Southeast Conference commissioner wants to say it's the tough schedule. Don't lose the Vanderbilt, okay?
Don't lose the Vanderbilt.
All right, yeah. That's it for quarter one. Lots more to go with Mike Villagrana.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United. Speaking of which, we've got Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana, with us. We are talking about last week's Big Ten Media Day, James Franklin representing Penn State. And I have about eight different clips of James Franklin. And you and I, we got through one of them in quarter number one. At this pace, we're not doing very well. I'm going to try to improve now. Let's get right to another James Franklin clip. Here he's talking about Jim Knowles, new defensive coordinator, working with Andy Kotelnicki in a little bit of that cross scouting report. Let's take a listen.
You always do it. You have the offense break down the defense break down the offense. But it's different if you two guys are working together. You're going to be critical. You're going to bring up some points, but it's still it's your coworker. He's coming in with the Penn State game plan and the Penn State evaluations right. of what they thought before we were coworkers right. and friends. And there's some information in there, and there's players. I think I'm the man. Well, this report doesn't say you're the man, right. you know. And same thing for our offense coach to be able to go through and watch the game tape. Why you called this? What you were thinking? What were you worried about with us? Extremely valuable.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And then the same thing for our players as well. But again, you got to be willing to have these conversations. You got to be willing to ask tough questions and get real answers right. back. And we encourage that.
All right. I thought a very good answer, very good question. And it is fascinating because Jim Knowles has been defending against the Penn State offense now for the last several years.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you got to, as a Penn State fan, just love this, right? You have two of the biggest names as far as coordinators goes in college football with Kotelnicki and Jim Knowles. And with that, and from my experience, these guys also carry very big egos. Right. They're very powerful guys. And so for these guys to say, hey, for you to go to Jim Knowles, who's been doing it for 30 plus years at a high level and say, I don't know about that. You know, that doesn't look that good. And to be able to have that collaboration with the offensive and defensive coordinator and not just normal guys. These are elite guys at their position to be able to collaborate and make the program better. That's huge. And not only that, the staff sees that collaboration, so that makes them more willing. It's a cultural thing, right? And then the players see it. And so then, because I've been at places where, oh, the offense hates the defense and the defense hates the offense. There's, you know, obviously you want that competitiveness within each other, but it's almost gone too far at places that I've been. So, like, to have that, it's such a culture builder in my mind. Yeah, the X's and O's and figuring that all and getting better – that way is obvious there, but to me, it's more of a culture thing.
And I like the fact that Jim Knowles was successful at Ohio State against Penn State directly. And, you know, they could pull out that, you know, Penn State offense versus Ohio State defense tape from last season. And, you know, Jim Knowles could say that Andy Kotelnicki, gee, we were happy you ran the ball right up the middle several times when you had the ball inside, you know, the 5-yard line.
Yeah, exactly. And think about this too. I mean, he was in the Big Ten, so he played a lot of the teams that we're going to play. So he's already got a heads up. Basically, you have a like professional scouting port already right there for Kotelnicki. You know, so that is awesome. And what Coach Franklin has done to cultivate that relationship between those two is really neat to see, like really, really neat to see, especially when I was around for spring ball and kind of see it happen real time was really cool.
And you know what I find fascinating in your answer when you talked about the egos of each guy, which is a good thing, okay? I just all of a sudden started picturing a scrimmage at practice, offense versus defense, and each guy wanted to get the better of the other.
Yeah, yeah. You know, everybody has a different personality. But Coach Knowles, and like when you get a name like Coach Knowles to come in here, you're just really excited to kind of see his demeanor, his day to day, how's he interact with staff, the players, all of that. And really, what I like to see is like, all right, how's he coach? Like, what's his day to day? He has this smooth, like he kind of sits back, kind of sees everything, kind of just like just dissects everything. It's just really neat to see him. Versus like other coordinators that I've seen. And, you know, he's much different than Coach Kotelnicki too. But, yeah, it's been really neat to see him and Coach Kotelnicki kind of cultivate the team. And I'm excited.
I think the entire fan base is excited, which leads to our next clip from James Franklin, where he was asked about the preseason expectations for this team, which are higher than it's ever been in the James Franklin era. Let's take a listen.
The expectations are no different in the Lash building. That's our football building at Penn State.
Right.
The expectations in Happy Valley are no different. The expectation at Penn State's always to win the national championship. That's why I came here. That's why the players went there. And I say that, like, we finished a drive away from the national championship last year, and people were pissed. It's not like people were happy with our season last year. That's always the expectation. So it really doesn't feel any different. Are there more conversations that are going on at a national level about Penn State? Yes. And we appreciate that, and we embrace that. And it's a sign of respect. People see all the hard work that a ton of people have put in. But let's also be honest, Coach, and you know this better than anybody. Preseason polls and rankings, what do they mean? The expectations are no different in the Lash building. That's our football building at Penn State.
Right.
Okay, that's James Franklin talking about expectations, and he sort of straddled that line between we ignore that, it doesn't matter, and also, but we're aware that conversation is going on.
Yeah, it's such a fine balance within just college football and working in that space, no matter where you go, right? But obviously here, what Coach Franklin has done in 12 years to get us to this point, it's a good thing. It's a healthy, great thing that we have these expectations, right? And I listened to this earlier this morning, and this is one of my favorite clips, actually, because the pressure, I think in that clip, he says, you know, we were one drive away from playing in the national championship. And, you know, everybody wanted to burn down Penn State after us losing that game, right? And that's every year, you know, the expectations is there. The pressure is huge outside of that building. I don't think it's any different for Coach Franklin and the staff. And I don't see them functioning any different than they have in the past. So I think that's a good thing leading up to these kind of expectations, right? Because they already have felt it. And you have a veteran team, right? You have a veteran quarterback that's been with Colt Nicky now that's mastering the playbook, not learning it. The recipe is there right now for us to succeed even with these high expectations.
You know, I think I've told you this before on one of our other shows. Every week we have a segment where listeners could send in their questions. And this week someone sent in a question. You step into the elevator and there's James Franklin. You get a chance to ask him one question. What would that question be? And I said, my question was, you know, have you done enough to get this team from great to elite? Which was his quote from a few years ago. Well, I think in getting to that elite status, this is a step on the way there, having national expectations for your team. You saw it a year ago with Ohio State. You saw it the previous year for Michigan. There were seasons that led up to it. And my one other note on that is you brought up, you know, Penn State's history in quarter number one. Going into the Wayback Machine, the two national championship years, 82 and 86, and then the undefeated should have been a national championship year in 94. One thing all those seasons had in common was the prior season, they got very close and didn't win it, all right? And it kind of raised that expectation level, and a lot of the team came back the following year. And there were great expectations every time, Mike. I think that's an indicator of something.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're right there. So, you know, all those things that I talked about, I think that's going to, you know, get us over the hump. And the hump is a national championship. So, again, I like to remind fans and everybody that, you know, it could be a lot worse, guys. You know, this could be year one. New head coach, and hey, let's just get to a bowl game. You know, let's get six wins. You know, no, we are there with the elite. And I think we're going to be consistently there every year, talking about expectations, talking about national championships. And, you know, hopefully here soon we'll be talking about repeating, right? And those type of things. So, yeah, really good. And you know what's funny? Not to get off a tangent like we normally do, but I will. You bring up the elevator question, and I will never forget hearing, you know, when you're with Coach Franklin, you know, this is me trying to get my foot in the door, you know what, you better be prepared for your elevator,
elevator question. Pitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Your pitch. And it so happened, I was at a clinic with him and I got in a elevator with Coach Franklin. Oh. And at this point, you know, I've kind of reminded myself and I've ran over this 2-minute pitch that I would say to Coach Franklin if I had a chance, and I completely bombed and blew it. Got nervous. Didn't know what the heck to say. but it ended up working out.
I was going to say, you couldn't have bombed that much if you're, you know, in your second stint with them. You must have done something right.
Yeah, I think I put myself in a hole, and so then I had to work really hard to get myself out of the hole.
Well, and James gave you the opportunity, and it's always interesting. He talks about, you know, his binder, his preparation for any situation, and if he ever does lose someone from his staff, he goes to his binder because he keeps notes on people he's spoken to at clinics and so on. So he's always prepared, okay? He's the example for us as that guy who is always ready. All right, we're set to wrap up quarter number two. After this, what I want to get to, Mike, is Coach Franklin talked about a couple different position groups that he was asked about, and he had some interesting comments about the offensive line, the tight ends, the wide receivers. How about when we come back, we play those clips for you, and I want to get your response to it. We're going to do that with Mike Villagrana right after this message.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Rebel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to RebelXP.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 Penn State student-athletes. I'm Jim Galante, along with Executive Director of HVU, Mike Villagrana. We're talking about the Big Ten get-together media day last week out in Las Vegas. James Franklin had several different iterations with the media. And just as an aside, where I'm getting some of these clips from James Franklin was from his sit-down with the Big Ten Network people, which I happen to think is the best interview in these media days. They get a good amount of time, get to ask James Franklin several questions, and he gets to fully answer the question. So we get fully fleshed out answers from James Franklin. And here's one, Mike, and as promised, he talked about a couple of the different position groups. And the group I'm probably most excited about going into this season is the offensive line. Here's James Franklin on his offensive line.
Coach Troutwine, our O-line coach, has done a phenomenal job. The kids have embraced it. We're talented. We're talented up front. We got depth up front. We have probably eight guys that we think could start for us. We'll rotate those guys. We did some of the fun stuff with Venga, Ione, lining them out, bringing them in motion.
Right.
Offense linemen on the field. We can continue to do that. So, we're really excited about our front.
Okay, there's James Franklin on the offensive line. And he brought up some of the highlights that I totally agree with, talking about depth, which is so critical on the offensive line. I know you know a lot about offensive line play. And he brought up probably my favorite player on the team, Mike, which is Vega Ioane. Every time I see him go in motion, I get excited, Mike.
Yeah, these guys are my favorite. Naturally, so I played defensive line and then in college. I've talked to you about it a bunch. And then, they switched me over to the tight end position. But I was basically an offensive lineman, right? And all my boys and all my friends at college, they were offensive linemen. So those guys, like the camaraderie and the things that they go through is really cool. Another clip that he plays, I think, is really neat. It was one of my favorite clips, too, that Coach said yesterday was – the Joe Moore Award, we want that in the Lash Building. And I think this year we have a legitimate shot at that award. And that's his favorite award. And that's my favorite award. I don't think it gets talked enough about, but usually the teams that win that award are there up for the national championship at the end of the year, And we've talked about it. Coach mentions, eight guys that could potentially start. Yeah, I've said even, 9-10, I think, at some point. We're in a really good position with this offensive line. And Vanga, as you mentioned, is very versatile. He had a great offseason, like a lot of these guys. I just left Lash the other day, and these guys are grinding in there with Coach Losey and his team. A lot of these younger guys are starting to put on some weight, some good-looking weight. Like, they're looking good, Jim. So there's going to be some more guys that are going to hopefully add to the depth.
Well, and we're going to talk about the tight ends in a little bit, but the offensive line, Mike, I've been talking about that on this show. It's approaching what you have at tight end. By that, I mean, they have a history. They have the present, which is, going to be fantastic. And they have a future. You see the legacy, what they're doing currently, and you're also excited by the future because of some of these recruits that are coming in. And offensive line, you could talk about the running backs and wide receivers, the skill position players, but they affect half of the offense. The offensive line, it affects everything, Mike.
That's right. With the combination of our tight ends, we have a really good shot to be dominant, obviously, between the lines. But when you talk about the tight ends, it's just crazy to me to have a Luke Reynolds in there, Khalil, Andrew Rapplier coming back from an injury. You have those guys as the stables, right? And then you have some really young guys that are coming up as Olish, the true freshman that had a really good offseason coming in here. Joey Schaffler, Brian Kordovic, like that group all together, it's to me one of the best tight end groups in the country. And, this is another thing too. When they talk about awards, the Mackey Award, Coach mentioned it yesterday. It's basically a receiver award.
Yeah.
Right. Like they're just looking at stats for that award. Who has the most catches? Who has the most yards, touchdowns? Right. That's what it is. It's a big man glorified receiver award. They don't account for the blocking. Right. Like these guys, Reynolds, I'll take Reynolds against, a defensive end. I'll take him all day over a Sam linebacker or somebody on second level. Just not Luke, but all of those guys, they're going to be able to block. And that just adds more bullets to Coach Colton Nickey's already dangerous playbook.
Well, and in talking about the depth, both at the offensive line and at tight end, offensive line, the depth you have there means okay, we put Vega in motion, which means we have a sixth offensive lineman on the field. That doesn't mean we have a weak link there because we have the depth. The same thing at tight end. We could have multiple tight ends in there. There's no weakness. Someone's blocking. Someone's out, you know, in a pass pattern, pass route. So that's what that depth does. So we're talking. Go ahead.
Yeah. And Jim, on that, like, so for people that don't know, so there's always somebody on the defensive staff that's usually up in the press box, and their sole responsibility is to identify the personnel that's coming out on the field, right? And it doesn't get talked about a lot, but that's a really important job. That person is usually a GA or an analyst or something like that, that's in charge of that, and that's relayed to the coordinator. And so now the coordinator is able to make a decision based off of what he's been told the personnel's coming on, so he can make the correct call, right? So this poor guy, whoever it is, that's going to have to look at our personnel is going to see 7 lineman numbers, 4 tight end numbers. And what the offenses do prior to running out on the field, they make sure they bring everybody in that huddle so they can identify who's coming out. So then that GA or analyst that identifies the personnel is in a real, real tough spot. So that is a huge valuable thing that is in our favor that doesn't get talked about enough.
Well, I'm glad you brought that point up. It's an interesting one because we talked about offensive line. Are you bringing out 5 or 6 of them? Okay. Tight ends. Are you bringing out 1, 2, or 3 of them? And also, Mike, I'll throw in this. How about running back depth? I'll tell you what, if you're a defensive coordinator, you got to be aware if both Nick Singleton and Catron Allen are in the game at the same time.
Yeah, and then you don't know where they're going to line up. So it's one thing to get the personnel, right? Okay, cool. All right, but all right, that big, huge lineman, 300 pounds, is out in the slot. We didn't practice this.
No, I'll tell you. All right, let's get to James Franklin's clip talking about the tight ends.
Every year we've had pretty much a guy drafted, Mike Kosicki, Brenton Strange, right? Theo Johnson. We've had a ton of guys. Tyler Warren last year. People are thinking there's going to be a drop off. We got a guy named Dinkins who's going to have a big year for us, Khalil Dinkins. Everybody's talking about Luke Reynolds, the 5-star kid that we signed 2 years ago. Andrew Rapelier was going to start or be the number 2 last year and had a season-ending injury. He's back. Ty Howell, our tight ends coach, has done a phenomenal job, one after another. Those guys are impactful on Saturdays, and they're also getting drafted into the NFL at a high rate.
So there you go. You know, that's James Franklin pointing out something I said earlier. There's this legacy you have. There's what you have right now, and then there's what you're going to have in the future. And again, it's not just one tight end on the field. It's potentially 2 or even 3 tight ends on the field, Mike.
Yeah, this is a position dear to me, obviously. Played it. And what's really neat about this legacy, you go back to Mike Kosicki. So that was when I first got here. And I think I've told you, you know, my wife and my kids, that was like one of their favorite players. And we just actually were watching the Netflix series, and Burrow is one of them. And it was pretty neat to see Gesicki out there catching touchdowns from him. But, like, it was, yeah, Gesicki. But you can go even before that, Gesicki, right? There was a lot of guys that got drafted. I remember going all the way back to Kyle Brady, who's somebody that I looked up to when I initially fell in love with Penn State when I was a kid growing up. So, that position is awesome. And we're so lucky to have Coach Howell there because he's a hell of a recruiter. He's a hell of a guy to develop those guys. And when you're around these guys from day to day, you kind of see like how the respect that these coaches get from the players and like all coaches on this staff. But, Coach Howell has a ton of respect from these players. Looking towards this season, like Rapley, being around him now for a couple months, he's kind of a psycho. He's all over the place. He's great energy. Awesome. Like, I'm really excited to see him. Obviously, like Coach said, everybody's talking about Luke Reynolds, and rightfully so. I think he has a chance to be just as good as Tyler Warren. We were doing this event last week, and, you know, he had to do, you know, like a photo shoot or some media things. And, you know, my kids are around and my wife was around. And I said, look at that guy. Like, that is what you want him to look like. You know, we always say you want like avatars, but he's like a huge avatar. Like, he's just all around big, tall, long, athletic. And he's got the right mindset too. Like, he is a pure football guy. And kudos to like Ty Howe and everybody else in the past, because they kind of set that culture, right? So everybody that comes up is continuing to, you know, try to exceed that expectation, or just, you know, make sure that the standard is never lowered.
Well, there's always the veteran in the room who establishes this is the work ethic. Okay. So the new guy comes in, he has no choice but to follow the example, because that's how this room exists. And then he passes it on to the next guy. Mike, that's going to be it for quarter number three. We're going to talk about the wide receivers, as did James Franklin, when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Rebel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. Our show's brought to you by Happy Valley United. I'm with Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. Mike, it's already the fourth quarter. Time always flies when we get on the show together. And we get on these topics. We always joke that, you know, you and I get off on tangents. But we start talking about tight ends. I can't let it go. I need to keep talking about it. But one of the things that I'm finding interesting at the tight end position, during the break and between segments, we were talking about there's so much depth there, so many guys there. You know, how do you keep everybody happy? It's been established the pecking order. There's the number one, number two, number three, but number two and number three get play, and then they become the number one guy. And they always end up in the NFL, Mike. So it's like people forget, you know, Tyler Warren 2 years ago, I don't want to say played second fiddle, but he was splitting time with Theo Johnson, who may have been considered the number one. Okay, now this past year, it was Tyler Warren's turn. And there just seems to be that legacy established. You just step-by-step grow, and the next step is the NFL.
Yeah, that's a great point. And Coach mentioned it in one of the interviews that he had. I was listening to XM Radio. You know how they go through the car wash, yeah, and they have to talk to a million people. Well, one of them, you know, he mentions, you know, Nick and Katron coming back. And this is just an example with some of these tight ends. But like they came back and they still have a chance to be one and two all time leading rushers in Penn State. Like think about that recruiting pitch, right? Like, oh, you're still going to get the ball and get a lot of yardages, get a ton of yards. We're not going to grind you. So when you are, you know, preparing for the NFL, you don't have a ton of miles on you. So that's huge. But what we were talking about between segments was what's awesome about not just the tight end room, but everywhere. When Luke Reynolds gets off the field, for a break or whatever it be, you know, the next tight end coming in, there's not a real big drop off of talent. So that, and that's huge. You know, you're just not going in there, putting a guy in there that's a liability. You know, like if it was me back in the day, it's a liability. You know, you can't do much with him. He's slow. You got hands.
Other than that, though, you were an all-star performer.
Yeah, but yeah, that's huge. And but you can say that across the board with this roster right now. The next guy is just as good as the starter.
And I do want to add one more note on the tight ends. As we were talking about historically, I think the one name we didn't put out there, and I'm going to say it because he was one of my favorites, was Pat Freiermuth.
And Pat's one of my favorites because Pat, I don't know if I've said this story, but he's one of my favorite recruits all time at Penn State, just only because like he wasn't a highly touted guy when he started doing the going to camps and visiting schools. You know, he's from a really small school where they had, you know, they had to wear sports jackets and stuff like that. He called me and he's like, "Hey coach, you know," and I'm a recruiting coordinator at the time. And he's like, "Hey coach, you know what? Me and my dad, we're on campus. And I just saw Pat. He just reminded me of the story. And he's like, he didn't know whether to call me or not. His dad's like, you know, just call him. And so he calls me. I talk to him. He says he's on campus and he's not really a big guy at that time for us. But then, you know, Ricky Ronnie, who was the tight ends coach, you know, I said, "Hey, Ricky, you know, Pat's here, and his dad, what do you want to do with him?" And he's like, "All right, well, you know, Ricky's a heck of a guy and a coach, and he was a really good recruiter." He's like, "All right, so let's put something together. Let's get him around, take him around." So we took him around, and that really kind of triggered his recruitment. So we fell in love with Pat and the person and his family then. And then he came to camp, which was our premier camp at that time, where we invited our top guys. And we had a committed linebacker at that point, and Pat was crushing him, killing him. Now Pat wasn't the fastest, and I was the hesitation. So then me and Ricky were just standing up on the table to offer this guy Pat, because he was killing it. And then we did, and the rest is history. And we were at this Pittsburgh event the other week, or last month, and we got to talk about that a little bit. And it's just, it's all, and for me in my position, that's awesome.
Oh, it's gotta be, you know, to get that history. And those kind of stories help with the next recruit. As long as we're off tangent, I'll go with my Pat Freiermuth family story. And I don't know if I've told you this story before.
I don't think so.
But during, I guess it was during the COVID season, and there was some talk about whether the Big Ten would play or not, the Southeast Conference. And the families of players got involved in this conversation. And apparently one of the folks who got into the conversation was Pat Freiermuth's mother. I got her on the show and interviewed her. And
oh, that's awesome.
Fell in love with her. She was fantastic. She was great. But my favorite part, and I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but I was asking her about, you know, some games that Pat had played, whatever, you know, making big catches, this or that. And it was kind of like, nah, catching the ball is no big deal. But did you see him run over the defender? That's what Pat was talking about. That's what the family was talking about. That's what everybody cared about. Which it just, whenever I hear about, you know, the player loving to be the physical part of the game and running somebody over, I'm like, okay, now I'm happy, you know, to hear that. So yeah. Pat Freiermuth will always be one of my favorite Penn State players, partially because of his mom. So
yeah, but you know, to all of this, like, you went from one really good recruiter, right, Tyler Bowen, to the next, but it really did, there was no drop off, right? And so, you know, that has a lot to do with, like, full circle with everything that you're saying about Coach Franklin and having a binder and ready. There's not going to be a drop off when he has to replace somebody. He's very calculated and very smart with his decisions, who he brings in. So, yeah, again, kudos to Coach Franklin and, you know, his philosophy as far as hiring, because there has not been a drop off when that happens.
Well, I think that's one of the underrated parts of the position of head coach is the guys that you bring in, who you hire. And James seems to have had a pretty good mix of you know, the young guys who are legacy, who are Penn Staters, and the veteran guys. But the coordinators, we talk about them a lot, but I don't think the position coaches get quite the recognition they should.
I mean,
Bill Trautman, he totally, it's a 180 among the way we talk about wide receivers now in the issue. A couple of years ago, that's how we talked about the offensive line.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Offensive line is a given.
Yeah.
Tight end, a given.
Yeah. And, you know, back to the core of this question and your point. You know, the hiring is so crucial and critical to your success. Look, I 2018, I left with Coach Moorhead, first year head coach. Then Coach Leach came in for a year. That was his first year at that school. Then I went to with Coach Huff, first year head coach. Then Coach Pry, first year head coach. So me seeing those first hires and how it's played out, definitely has a big effect of the outcome of that coach's job, because you can't just hire your friends. You can't just hire somebody because, you know, they're allegedly good. They got to be a culture fit. You don't want to have to stick to like, oh, I need a guy with 30 years experience. Coach Franklin, like he has such a good gauge on that. And what makes sense for Penn State. And again, that we're lucky to be in that position.
Exactly. You know what? I'm going to play the wide receiver clip because I promised that before we started this segment. Let's get to that one real quickly here, Mike.
We were aggressive. You know, we're not a big portal team. We sign eight guys out of the portal, but we do go address issues when we need to. I think the big thing that we did a good job of this year is going and getting proven production. Kyron Hudson had maybe one of the catches of the year against LSU. Yeah. He was a captain at USC. That's very telling, right? Pena from Syracuse, six-year player, captain at Syracuse. Production was their leading receiver, targeted on every critical down, right? Devontae Ross, I'm watching the Iowa game. I got a ton of respect for Iowa on special teams. I got a ton of respect for Iowa on defense. Troy's beating Iowa at halftime, and he's got two touchdowns, a long reception and a punt return for a touchdown. So bringing in these guys with this type of production to go along with Liam Clifford and a ton of the talent that we have in the room.
I thought it was so interesting, the point that he made. They brought in production, Mike.
100%. And it's another good, great clip. This is why Coach Franklin's so great in speaking. Really kind of stuck with me what he said. It was like, we're not going to go out and get the shiny toy, right? That you don't know that kid for, you know, only 2 weeks recruiting him out of the portal and he's all shiny. And, we're not doing that. You know, you're going to the basics, looking at the stats, looking at the film, looking at the production. You're doing your homework on these guys. All right, is he a culture guy? Does he fit our culture? You got to calculate all of that. And Coach Franklin and the staff did a really good job bringing those three guys in. I've had, the chance to be around them. And all of them are a little different. And I think bring a little something different to the table. So it's going to be great to see those guys. And, you know, at the end of that clip, Coach mentioned Liam Clifford. I think that's somebody that, you know, you can't forget about. And, you know, look and put yourself in Liam's shoes, right? All right. He's coming and he's an older guy now. He's a redshirt senior. He's been around. All right. And these guys are coaches and the staff. They decided to bring in three receivers, right? Well, that's going to make him better, right? Like, that's going to elevate his game. He's going to get a captain from USC to come in and see his work ethic. And by all accounts that I've seen, Kyron Hudson kind of handles himself as a professional already. So Liam's going to get that, pick up something maybe from him that he didn't pick up in the past, or from, Trevor, who has a lot of production, or who's our other guy, Devontae, who has a ton of production. And to me, all those four right there, they're all a little different. And they're all bring a little bit something different to the table, which is going to be a pain in the ass for defenses to scout for.
Okay, yeah. And we're all hoping that wide receiver room could turn the corner. So much depth, so much productivity everywhere else. If we could just get to that point in the wide receiver room, boy, that would be so helpful. Yeah. Mike, again, it just always goes so fast, my friend.
Hey, we might need to start like the Joe Rogan deal. Like maybe just go. And maybe, you know, if we did that, we'd go probably three and a half hours.
I'll tell you. And then we learned this, too. We're also very good if we have a couple beers with us at the same time.
Yeah. That's the next show that we're going to do. Beers with Jim and Mike.
All right. Hey, I love it. That's it for our show. Thank you all. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.